Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, that's right, common sense for intelligent investors. Find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us today Mr. David Lisk. He is the executive director of York County First Steps. And we've had a wonderful opportunity to get acquainted here over the last 15 minutes. I won't tell everybody how you got into this job. But it's an interesting story. If you ever run into David Lisk, say, look, I understand you are a mechanical contractor. How did you end up doing this kind of stuff? But here he is. A job you've had, what, a dozen years now?
Yep, dozen years. And glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Sure. Glad to come in and share about York County First Steps and what we do for preschool children.
So I want you to tell everybody who's sitting over here behind the mask.
All right. I have Kiana Rios, who is one of our interns. We're very blessed this semester to have 8 interns at York County First Steps in early education, as well as in social work. So we've been very blessed. We're one of the few that are allowing face-to-face. And with all the stuff that's going on with pandemic, I need all the help we can and a number of projects. And so it worked out very well with Winthrop.
I was going to say, she's a student at Winthrop University.
She is.
All right. A wonderful resource. Well, Kiana, thank you for being here, even though she can't talk. She's all messed up, right? But we've been teaching her about transistor radios.
Yes, we have. And the olden days.
The olden days. We had to explain who Walter Cronkite was.
Yes, we did. And she had to Google a few things along the way. But
she's with us now. All right. So, David, tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
Okay. Well, my background is that I actually came out of school and worked in the corporate world for about 22, 23 years. I got to travel a bit, got to do a lot of business development, and also develop relationships. So from there, after a number of years of traveling the world over and getting tired of being on a plane all the time, I helped my wife, who was running daycare centers. And so I did that for a number of years, and somebody on the board at York County First Steps said, hey, we need business people on our board. So I got an opportunity to serve on their board. Their executive director about 12 years ago decided he wanted to do something else. And lo and behold, the board chair, who many people might know, David Lyon.
Books.
That's right. Books from the library. He said, hey, I think you ought to be the executive director. And I said, well, you know, I've already got a full-time job. And he says, well, that's okay. We'll just do it part-time and we'll pay you part-time. Well, he was half right. They did pay me half part-time, but it was all full-time. And after a few years, my wife and I decided to get out of the daycare business, and I took this on full-time, and she went back into teaching. So I haven't looked back, and it really enjoyed being the executive director for York County First Steps. And we've launched a few new programs over the years and have grown, and we're really glad to be a part of York County.
All right, well, let's start with ground zero, which is, for many people, they're just not familiar with the household word, First Steps. So explain what it is.
Okay. Well, the way I like to describe it is, in, you know, when our legislators, we're always looking for those moments of brilliance where good things came out. And this was about 22, 23 years ago that the legislators in South Carolina decided that they wanted to put an investment in every county for preschool initiatives to try and to marshal resources, provide a portal for children to find specific interventions for them, and to really support the effort of having children 0 to 5, when they get to school, really be prepared and ready to go to school and to leverage that education to reach their dreams and their aspirations. So there's actually a First Steps in every one of the counties. So we partner with our organizations that are here that are working in a similar space. And we work with them to partner and to provide those type of interventions and services for preschool children and their families.
True. So in the course of any one year, how many children are you dealing with?
Well, in either light touches or also in very intensive interventions, we try to get, and we're probably hitting about 6,000 to 7,000 of the at-risk children in York County. There are, based on the last census, since the 2020 is not out, we're still having to rely on the 2010. There's about 16,000 to 17,000 children 0 to 5 in York County. And so we're hitting a little less than about half of them. And about 40% to 50% are in an at-risk situation, either in poverty or maybe their family may have other type of issues that create a risk factor for them in their education.
So how do you identify your target? How do you find out who they are?
Well, there's a number of different areas, and we've actually worked with looking at those risk factors that can impact a person's educational outcomes. Poverty is one. So whether they are receiving food stamps or whether they are enrolled in Medicaid. If it's a single parent household, that would be another risk factor. If perhaps the mother and the father didn't graduate from high school, or maybe it's a mother who was a teen mom. And then there are a number of disabilities that a child may have, a learning disability or a situation where they aren't quite up to par, and we can help them. If they're on the autistic spectrum or other type of learning issues, then we help them. And we tailor the intervention for whatever their specific need is.
So the whole purpose is to, as you say, intervene at a very early age, get these young boys and girls ready to go into kindergarten,
right,
so that they're not way behind the eight ball on their first day in school.
Exactly. And I really look at the school districts as my customer, because they really are the ones who receive. And when a child shows up at school and they're 5 years old, and maybe they haven't been in a child care center, maybe they haven't had a classroom setting, maybe they haven't been read to a lot, and they've really struggled, school districts can do a lot with them over the next 13 years. But to make up for that first 5 years, which is, you know, when the adage about you learn everything you really need to know by the time you're 5 years old, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of brain development that goes in, and the wiring in the brain, how you learn to speak, how you learn to socialize, how you learn to interact with other people. A lot of that happens before you're 5 years old. And so if we can make sure that the child is ready to learn when they show up at school, their outcomes and their ability to leverage that education for themselves really is enhanced.
Phew. All righty. Now, you got to take me through this. So you've identified Johnny Smith as one of the at-risk children. Do you go knock on Johnny's door? Do you, how do you start the conversation? And how is that conversation even received?
Well, there's a number of different ways that we find our families. In some cases, the family may already have an older sibling that may already be in the school system. And so, again, by partnering with the school districts, they may say, hey, look, Johnny's older brother has been in school, and we knew that they weren't quite ready. So maybe we can intercede and help the younger siblings. Another area is that we work with our child care centers. And if there is a child or a family that really is struggling, is that they can call us in and make referrals. If the child has a learning disability and has gone through a screening, and maybe there's a pediatrician who says that they're not speaking up to what an 18-month-old, the number of words that they should be able to speak to, maybe the pediatrician says, you need to seek some intervention. Maybe it's speech therapy, maybe it's something else, reading therapy within the family unit itself. But they too can give us a referral. So it really can be, and in some cases, a family member may say, hey, look, they're not quite where you were at this age. look out. And what we try to do is to get in the way of those questions. We want to be the resident expert in early intervention. So that's how we try to tailor ourselves. And so if the family is looking for early interventions for preschool families, they can come to us. And if we don't provide the service directly, we'll get you where you need to be. And that's what we work with. So there's that one-stop shop. You can come to us, and we'll get you where you need to be.
So does the school district initiate this conversation with the parents of the at-risk child?
It can. Or they can just give us the referral, and then we'll reach out to them. And so pre-pandemic, we would actually call them up and ask to come visit or for them to come in, and we'll do a screening. Now, with the pandemic, we're having to do a lot of this virtually, and that opens up a whole nother, line of questions.
And we're going to get into that in a minute. But I'm still curious, once you have made the contact,
right.
Somebody's made the contact.
Yes.
How does that go? I mean, do you find the parents, boy, am I glad that you knocked on my door, or who do you think you are saying something about my child?
Well, and it's kind of a range of both. there are some that have an indication. Maybe they've had another child and they know this, you know, this child really is struggling and I need to do something. But some of them, and this is one of the things that we do work with especially young children, is all parents want their child to be normal. And whatever that normal is, and they want their child to be successful. And as I describe this with families, and we've worked with families, is there's an opening where a family member, a mother, a father will say, well, maybe my child does need some help. Maybe they do need an intervention. And it may just be for a few months. It may be for a year that can get them back up to where they need to be. But that opening in that window of their mind to even be open to say, yeah, my child needs some help, really is a very fragile thing, because sometimes when you go in and they say, no, my child's normal, my child's okay, that window closes for another 12 to 18 months. And now another 12 to 18 months has gone by that the child is still struggling. And if they're not in a setting where there are other children to kind of compare against, the child is doing fine as far as the parents are concerned. But we know that when compared to other children that age, that they're lagging behind, and we can help them. And the earlier we get in and the earlier we can begin to help them, the more sustained and the better that investment is.
All right, so you've made contact with a willing set of parents, and we're ready for you to tackle Johnny with whatever issue he has. Does Johnny go to a special class that First Steps has, or do you send somebody like Kiana out to the house to work with a child? How do you do this?
Well, it depends on the program. So in some cases, if it's parents as teachers or nurse family partnership, which is one of our two of our programs, is there's actually a parent educator or a nurse that will actually make home visits. Now, that's in pre-pandemic. And we hope to be able to get back to where they're face-to-face visits, but it will be a home visit. In the case of parents as teachers with a parent educator, they're going in and having a lesson and modeling the behavior as to how do I encourage positive bonding with this child, regardless of the child's age? How do I model about reading? I mean, a lot of parents really, they want to be great parents, and they just don't know how. Maybe they had a bad experience in school. Maybe they didn't exactly knock the top out when they were in school. And we're asking them to help their child be successful in school. And they want to do that, but maybe they just don't have the wherewithal. Maybe they don't have the background. So what we want to do is to provide them with the tools and provide them with the skills in order to do that. You know, we can talk about, well, you can take them to the museum, you can do all these things, and it costs money. And that's where we kind of get into where, oh, gosh, that's the barrier that's in front of me. But that isn't the case. We can go back and where did our children and where did we learn our letters? It probably was in the back of a car. I mean, we went by McDonald's and we recognized the M. We recognized yellow. We went by other signs. And that conversation that we have from back seat to front seat with the child, that's part of their learning. That's part of their educational experience. And sometimes we as parents, we want to look for the big ticket item, not the fact that we're just talking with our children and exploring with them.
So the people who are working with the at-risk kids, are they volunteers? Are they paid staff members?
Paid staff. Paid staff, and they've all got certification for the program that they're providing. So in the case of nurse-family partnership, which starts prenatally and lasts until the child is 2 years old, they're actually degreed nurses. In the case of parent educators, they're certified parent educators. In the case of our Countdown to Kindergarten program, which is home visitation for rising kindergarten children, it's actually the kindergarten teachers. So we actually partner with the school districts to identify kindergarten teachers that will, before the children come to their classroom, actually do home visits to help the child get ready for kindergarten and help the family with that transition of going for their child to go to big school now.
But you've got, you say you're dealing with somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 kids. You must have a whole army of people doing this.
Well, that's why I said light versus intensive interventions. In the case of intensive interventions, where we are is probably in the 300 to 500 range. But we also, with our working with our child care centers, we help provide training and elevating the quality of our child care network. In the case of York County, we've got about 140 to 150 child care centers. So we provide training and also technical assistance to the child care centers to elevate the quality of their programs so that they're helping, again, the children. And it helps us identify children that may need a little more intensive intervention. So when you start adding, working with 100 different child care centers, it begins to add up. You start adding in other programs and events that we do around the county with books and literacy and awareness of early education, you begin to get to that 6,000 to 7,000 children that get impacted by York County First Steps in a year.
We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks for our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. There's a magical way we do it, and anybody who's anybody knows how that's done, and we're going to say it out loud at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. David Lisk is with us today. He is the Executive Director of York County First Steps. And if you missed the first part of the program, you need to go back and listen, because they're dealing with 6,000 to 7,000 kids, at-risk children, ages 0 to 5, trying to get them set up to go to kindergarten and be right where they need to be when they walk in that door and not be a year or two or 3 years behind. So you, to do this, you how many people do you have? I mean, how many on your staff?
We now have 10 people on our staff.
Right.
And most of them are service providers, so they're actually in the homes working with our families. And then we also partner with the school districts to extend even more. We actually provide money to the school districts to expand their programs in early intervention. We really are very blessed, and I every morning I say, gosh, how blessed I am to work in York County, because not every school district in the state sees preschool intervention as part of their mandate and part of their priority, but all four school districts in York County do. And they make an investment, just not just in words, but actually in their budget, to where they are working. And so we try to partner with them and help even further.
Well, as is evidenced by the fact that we have, I always like doing this, at the end of the school year, just look at the tens of millions of dollars of scholarships that are given out to these young men and women as they go on to further their education. Speaks for itself. So you need to give me... Well, first of all, to operate this, you are 100% state funded?
No, we are not. We are about 60% state funded and about 40% from other donors and foundations, where I write grants and get donations to provide additional services. And with one of our programs, it's almost, with our nurse family partnership, it's about 75% actually comes from outside funding.
So your budget in the course of the year is roughly what?
About $1.5 million.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, you got to have an army of people to do what you're doing. So I want you, and I'm sure you have to do this as you're writing your grants and justifying your worth to those that you're seeking funding from, give me one or two success stories.
Okay. I would give you two success stories. One is, and we just had to do exactly what you're saying, where we wanted to highlight some of those successes in order to put them in our annual reports and then also be able to share them with our funders for Nurse Family Partnership. So one of our families, we actually brought out, and we actually went to Manchester Meadows, and she was getting ready to graduate from our Nurse Family Partnership. So she had been in our program since she was about 5 to 6 months pregnant. And so for about 2.5 years, she had been in it, and we'd had one of our nurses go in and visit with her. They had gone through and had worked and said, okay, you know, you're going to have this child. And we really wanted to work with them to say, all right, this child may be a detour in your dreams. Maybe you didn't plan on having a child right now, but this detour is just that. It isn't an end to your dreams. This doesn't have to end where you want to be and what you want to do as a person. And so that nurse helped them have a full-term delivery, a healthy delivery. She had a little baby boy, and he is an absolute delight. So when we took him out to Manchester Meadows just to talk about her story, he was just such an outgoing, such a wonderful child. He was right at 2 years old, that he just took everybody's heart that we had kind of congregated to take some pictures. But she was able to go back to school. She was able to learn a skill and was now gainfully employed and being able to provide not only for herself but also for her child. She had also worked with some issues with maybe some of the family members or some of the other people that were influencing her that she needed to say no to. And that was one of the things that Nurse Family Partnerships helps, is to make those decisions so that they are self-motivated, self-sufficient, and being able to see what's a good influence on themselves and their child and what may be a negative influence on themselves and the child. And so she was just such a happy mother, had a great bonding, and this child was very, very well adjusted, beginning to speak, beginning to walk around. And it was just such a delight. So there's one for our Nurse Family Partnership Program. The other is, and I'm going to brag on Winthrop as well. So this success story has a Winthrop edge. Last summer, one of our programs is Countdown to Kindergarten, and it helps rising kindergarten children, and we usually partner. But I didn't want to ask the school districts, how do we, you know, have kindergarten and kindergarten teachers doing this in the middle of a pandemic? They had enough things to go from trying to figure out how they're going to get back in school over the summer. So what I did is I had an intern who their internship it ended, and they couldn't get anything else during the summer, call me up and say, hey, do you have a project or something I could work on this summer? And what we did is that she modified the curriculum for Countdown to Kindergarten to where it was parent-centric. She, and then because she was more averse to this than I was, she did YouTube videos to go along with each one of the lessons, which I would have never thought of, and that's not something that I'm necessarily skilled at. So not only did the parents have a curriculum that had been modified to be parent-centric, that they could do for their rising kindergartner, but there's also a video that went with each one of them that she had done and she had formulated. So we then took that, rolled it out, and we were able to serve about 80 families with a modified Countdown to Kindergarten program because I had an intern who, that was her passion, that was what she, and she was very skilled at it. And it was very well received to the point that we're continuing it as an option for this summer as well.
Isn't that interesting? Really? So the pandemic has been here. We're still dealing with that. I'm sure that has changed your world in terms of how you do what you do.
it has. I remember the first few weeks, everything converted over to a Zoom. We couldn't go into our office. And so we really were struggling, and we learned a whole lot of new skills from a technology standpoint that we just didn't have before. But I also remember that on one day that I'd had about 7.5 hours of Zoom meetings, and I got to the end of the day and I said, you know, I just want to talk to one person at a time. And so I didn't answer an email or anything else. I just picked up my phone and I just started calling people and visiting with them. And it was such a cathartic event just to talk to people and not be on a Zoom with 10 other people. And having to kind of, you know, you got to watch what your facial features are and everything else. It was just nice. So we have learned a lot of new skills.
So if somebody wants to get more information about First Steps, we have a website, I'm
website, sure. www.yc1ststeps.com.
All right. yc1ststeps.com.
Yes,
spell out first, F-I-R-S-T.
Yes.
All right. Well, David, thank you very much for being here. Very interesting. And I tell you, I had no idea you were doing all this. I'm glad you're here. We'll have to update this more regularly.
That'll be all great. Right. Thank you.
David Liskar, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, you all ready now, Kiana? She's ready now. All right. We're going to do this now. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. You know, we have an optometrist who comes here every day just to do this with us. His name's Dr. Scott Oliver. He is going to lead us in the chat. 1, 2, 3. Slice.
Garden.
All right. Have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.